You're listening to Tech Recruit, a podcast that educates talent acquisition and recruitment professionals on innovation to attract talent across all industries. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to the Talent Analytics Show. My name is Stacey Broadwell. I will be your host for today. And we have a very exciting guest, Morgan Llewellyn, who is the Chief Data Scientist for JobVite, is joining us on the show. Welcome, Morgan.
Thank you, Stacey. It's nice to be here. Really excited to be speaking with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. We're excited. I mean, there's been some great news behind JobVite. They've acquired several companies at the beginning of the year, I think, or the end of last year. One of those new acquisitions has been your company, Predictive Partners. So congratulations on that. That's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for the team. I mean, we're thrilled to be part of the JobVite family. We're doing some really interesting, amazing stuff with JobVite in the space and talent acquisition, AI in particular. Just a wonderful group to be with.
So your position, now that you're part of JobVite, you've remained with the company, is Chief Data Scientist. Tell us about that role. What is it that you're going to be doing with them?
Yeah, so what we'll be doing is we'll be leveraging a lot of those great data assets that JobVite has and really helping transition the future of talent acquisition into an AI and AI-enabled world. So helping recruiters, you know, if you think about what AI does, really what we're going to be focusing on is helping, you know, strip away and automate those easy decisions, automate the tools that can be automated, ultimately leaving the recruiter with the ability to spend more time and really, you know, kind of be more human, right? And spend more time with the people that they're trying to recruit. I think if you strip all that away, my mission is to help recruiters spend more time with the candidates that they want to focus and spend their time with.
It is not, I mean, what a great mission, but for talent acquisition leaders at major companies, and I speak with them all day long because of our conference, we're always, you know, engaging speakers and talking in through their different pain points. And, you know, finding sourcers, recruiters who are efficient at their process and can actually utilize tool to make them more efficient in an automation sense or whatever that might be, they're like, yes, gimme, gimme, gimme. And also, we need to train these professionals on that. That sometimes can be the stumbling block to buying new technologies, is then you got to train your staff on those technologies. But when they're equipped with that efficiency, oh, I mean, the rewards, right?
Well, and I think what we see in the future in this space is going to be, it's going to be, you know, AI, I like to joke, right? I think I'm living my 15 minutes of fame in the AI space, right? We're in the future, I don't think we're going to be talking about AI, right? We're going to be putting our attention on recruiters, right? AI is just going to happen behind everything, right? It's just going to be commonplace, and it'll just be there, and we'll only talk about it when it goes wrong, right? Which, you know, thankfully, we're at a point where AI doesn't go wrong that, you know, is often, and, you know, it is robust. And so what we see is, you know, how do you provide that AI that you don't have as many of those screen switches, you don't have as many of those button clicks, right? You're allowing that recruiter to be more efficient and spend the time and focus that matters the most and provides the most value.
Really good. So what are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, what we're going to be talking about today is nothing artificial. You know, really, what do you need to know to confidently approach AI and talent recruiting and talent acquisition? So just a high level overview of what we'll be talking about today is, you know, brief introduction about the why and kind of what is AI, right? We'll provide some use cases, right, of how AI is being used in talent acquisition. And then we'll speak at the end real quick around, you know, what we see as the future, right? If I were to make some predictions out into the future, you know, as a Chicago Cubs fan, I made a prediction a couple of years ago that Chicago Cubs wouldn't win the World Series. One year I made that prediction, and that happened to be the one year I was wrong. So, you know, we'll make some predictions. Hopefully we'll get them right, but should be fun nonetheless.
Are you in Chicago, Morgan?
I am not. I am actually in the Indianapolis area.
Oh, that totally makes sense, because that's where JobVite is headquartered.
Yeah, so well, I've got some geographic, you know, I've been on both coasts. You know, currently I'm based in Michigan, right? But that we call Indianapolis home.
So we want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, JobVite. Thank you so much for participating across all our conferences and webinars. And also for IT Talent Search, thank you for being one of our sponsors. Is this like the best logo or so without further ado, we'll go ahead and turn it over to you, Morgan.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead and share my screen. 1 second. Great. So just like we talked about, what we're going to be talking about today is nothing artificial. All you need to know to confidently approach AI in recruiting. And, you know, if you can only stick around for part of the, you know, part of the conversation, highly recommend sticking around for, you know, the first 15 or 20 minutes, right? Where we really talk about what is AI and unpack what AI is. Okay, so a little bit about JobVite, a little bit about me. Yeah, I'm sure everyone on the call is familiar with JobVite. If you're not, right? JobVite's been around for a little over 20 years, right? Focused on recruiting, real industry pioneer, you know, won a ton of awards, you know, great customer base. A little bit about me, right? So I lead the JobVite AI team. I've got about, you know, I'm getting a little long in the tooth myself, 20 years experience in, you know, data science and AI. You know, kind of fun fact, I'm a trained behavioral economist. And, you know, one of my really strong and core beliefs behind everything we do is how do we make AI more accessible? How do we make AI, you know, greater adoption? And doing that through JobVite's AI Innovation Lab is something that we're really proud of. Fun fact, haven't always been a data scientist. In fact, during college, I drove a forklift, third shift, and I damaged a ton of Snapple. So a little product plug there for Snapple, I suppose. Broke a lot of products, got a lot of free Snapple out of it, though, which was nice. So agenda for what we're going to talk about today, really focusing on, you know, the why and what of AI in TA, right? So why do we care about it? And, you know, what is AI? How do we relate AI and kind of this big meta concept? How do we, you know, dial it back so that it's relatable for everyone? And then going through a couple of use cases for AI in the TA space, as well as coming back with those predictions. And hopefully going to be right on some of those predictions, right? So our mission, right, as, you know, TA leaders, right, our mission, how do we secure and retain talent? Yeah, it's not easy, right? We've got, you know, 2/3 of recruiters report that they have trouble trying to attract the talent that they're looking for in their business needs. And, you know, in 2019, you've got, you know, 4/5, you know, 82% of employees saying that they're looking for new opportunities. I was looking at the, you know, that's from 2019, even at the heart of, you know, kind of the pandemic, I'm looking at the 2020 Job Seeker Nation survey. I think that number's still right around 50%, right? So even in a pandemic, right, you've got people who are always looking. So how do recruiters secure and retain that talent? That's really the mission. And, you know, that mission's getting harder, right? Because we're being spread over more and more, you know, kind of tasks and roles, right? So we're being asked to perform more functions. And we're having to perform those functions across more technologies, right? So we're having to do more, we're having to access more technologies, use more technologies, and it's making our life, you know, as recruiters, you know, more complex. And so ultimately, you know, recruiters are overstretched and, you know, can be overwhelmed as, you know, you get that proliferation of technology, you get that proliferation of responsibilities. It can be really hard to know where do you spend your time and your effort, right? You know, where are the moments that matter? And how do you identify those moments that matter when, you know, you're spread across multiple technologies? When, you know, even in the AI space, right, you talk about, you know, maybe you've heard the term data silos, right, in the past, right? Like I've got my, you know, my candidate siloed over here. And I've got my applicants maybe in another place, right? Or I've got my people I'm onboarding in a third place, right? You've got these data silos. Close that. So you've got these data silos, and in AI, what we see is, you know, similar to a data silo, you can end up with an AI silo, right? Where that AI silo is, you know, you've got an application that's generating a result in one place. And if it's not able to look across the entire platform, if it's not able to look across all these data silos, right? Your recommendations can be specific to that silo. And so you might lose that bigger global picture. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So you've got this proliferation of tech, right? You've got this proliferation of responsibility. The question really comes back to, well, AI, what is it? How is it here to help, and what can it do? In this, you know, again, if we're to, you know, if I'm going to talk about one thing today that I hope people remember, I hope it's this, right? AI is, you know, intuitively, we all understand it. And so here's a 5-minute overview of what I call simple AI, right? Everyone's familiar with the classic line, you know, there's two types of people in this world, right? There's people that do this and there's people that do that. Well, when we think about how we as humans are making predictions, how we as humans use data, to try and, you know, understand what's happening around us and what's going to happen around us. Really, the way we think about it and the way that we solve our problems is, you know, pretty straightforward. We first, you know, we ask a question, right? So, you know, is this person, you know, the right candidate for my, you know, position? Does this person have the right skills? Is this person going to apply, right? And then what we do is we use our experience to shape what we think is going to happen, right? So based on what I've seen before, based on, you know, my experience in the TA space, you know, I'm going to make a prediction about, you know, will they or won't they, right? Will this person apply, yes or no, right? How many of these people, right, in the probability, if I get, you know, 100 people in my funnel, how many of those people are going to apply? You know, how many people do I have to interview of the people that do apply in order to get the hire, right? And so you make these predictions based on your experience, and you observe a result. And then you take that result and you put it back into your kind of experience bucket or your experience bank. And next time something happens, you draw on that, you know, kind of augmented and growing list of experiences. So that over time, right, you become more and more accurate with your predictions. That's ultimately what we do as, you know, kind of humans, right? We ask a question, we use our experience to, you know, shape how we're going to think about and, you know, predict what's going to happen. And then we use the outcome and basically add to our bank of experience. Well, just like humans, this is really, you know, what AI is at its, you know, at its most basic and at its, you know, kind of most simplistic, right? In many cases, AI is working just like humans, right? Except, right, the difference is it can remember everything. Right? And it can remember everything perfectly when we store it, right? So what do I mean when, you know, AI is working just like humans, right? Well, AI takes a question and, you know, can carve it up into two outcomes. You know, is it A or is it B? And then using the data, right, we have an algorithm that predicts, you know, will they, won't they, right? Which item is more likely to happen? And then we record the outcome and we pump that back into our database, right? And we can update our model or, you know, we can update our predictions based on that. So fundamentally, right, the way that we as humans go about, you know, interacting with our world and making decisions in our business environment, it's very similar with the way AI works, right? We're using our historical experiences, right, to develop some sort of prediction over what's going to happen. That's it, right? That's really what AI is and does. It's using those historical experiences, those historical examples, just like we do as humans, in order to make predictions. Very straightforward. Okay, so AI overview in three bullets, right? So this is it, right? It frames a complex question, right, as an A or B outcome. Sometimes we can sequence, you know, and we can string those outcomes together, right? And then it uses the ATS and the CRM and all these other data points to predict what the outcome is going to be. And then we take the outcome and we update our experience bank, right? That's ultimately what AI is, right? And I think that's pretty relatable and pretty understandable to most everyone, right? We're using some experience, we're developing predictions off of that, and then we're updating our experiences, just like you and I do. Okay, so AI, right? So how is AI being used? This takes us to the second piece of today, the second element that we want to cover is use cases. So how is AI fueling recruiting funds? How do we think about AI in the recruiting space? So first of all, when we think about recruiting, you know, at Jobvite, we tend to think of this infinity loop, right? And that what you're doing today, right? Let's say you start with sourcing, right? What you're doing at sourcing on kind of the left end of this infinity loop, right? It's impacting the next item, which would be talent pool building, which impacts the next item and the next item, right? And so the AI that you're using in one section of your recruiting loop is ultimately impacting other areas of recruiting, other areas of, you know, even past recruiting, onboarding and employee advocacy, right? And so what that means is the data, the AI, right? It can be leveraged in multiple places. And this is really how we think about it at Jobvite, right? When we talk about technologies like candidate matching, or when we talk about things like web chat bots or messaging, right? Optimal engagement. These tools aren't necessarily being leveraged in any one particular piece or feature of the product, right? And, you know, I'll say this more generally, right? It's not our product. These AI technologies aren't, they're meant to be used in a platform setting. And that's what we're doing here at Jobvite, right? So we're using that AI, we're using that data, not just in a feature sense, but across an entire platform. So work we're doing on candidate matching, work we're doing on, you know, diversity and inclusion, work we're doing on engagement, right? Those same concepts and those same algorithms can be broadly applied, and that makes them more effective, right? That allows us to be more proactive. And so whenever we think about AI, right, we're thinking about this loop, right, where what you're putting in, you know, relates to what you're getting out, but what you're getting out is actually being put back in at the top of the funnel, right? And so there's this kind of endogenous nature of everything that we're doing in the recruiting loop. So let's talk about one specific area of that recruiting loop, right? Let's you know, carve out a section. Let's just talk about screening candidates, okay? So when we talk about screening candidates, you know, the first question is, why do we screen candidates, right? Is it to narrow the funnel, right? Focus on the top candidates? Is it to save time from working with unqualified candidates? Are you looking to find someone who maybe, you know, they're not a perfect match, but they stand out for other reasons, right? And I think we can rephrase, you know, these questions into, are we using screening to include or exclude candidates? And the answer might be both, right? We might be doing it to do both. We might be looking to screen candidates to, you know, save ourselves from working with those unqualified candidates, as well as be able to identify those that are really at the top of the funnel. So how does AI and automation come into play when we talk about screening? Well, if we think about the life of, you know, of TA and the life of recruiting, right? some nice stats we can get from the, you know, JobRight Recruiter Nation 2020 survey. 43% of workers find job descriptions to be too generic, right? So they're generic, they're not specific enough, right? 54% of workers say that they apply even though, you know, they know they don't have the required skills, right? And so in one context, we're saying that, well, you know, job descriptions, they're too generic. I really don't know what they're after, right? I'm just gonna go ahead and apply. In another context, on the other hand, we're saying the exact opposite, right? They're asking for some really specific things. I don't have those things, but I'm gonna go ahead and apply anyway, because, you know, maybe this is a case of a job description being too generic, right? Maybe I've got a chance, right? So we've got, you know, generic job descriptions. We've got people applying to, you know, jobs that they might not be qualified for. All of this means that recruiters, right? This is a Morgan Llewellyn stat. 100% of recruiters who've spent time reviewing, they've spent time reviewing unqualified candidates, right? So, you know, I would be hard pressed to find one person in the recruiting space who feels like they've only ever reviewed qualified candidates. So, you know, this is where AI and automation comes in, right? How do we help recruiters identify those unqualified candidates? How do we help them identify the qualified candidates? So automated candidate to job matching, right? Candidate matching, as we call it. This is one of those places where AI has been developed that can really help a recruiter save time and allow them to focus on those really great candidates. So here you can see we've got a screenshot from our own JobVite application where we're doing some AI around candidate matching. And we've got, you know, a number of candidates here, right? Some of them with a really good fit, like Ida Dealmaker, and some of them with less of a, you know, a not so great fit, like Abby Applicant, right? And so what we can do with AI is we can read job descriptions, we can read resumes, right? Using the AI, we can understand the context and what people are looking for. We can understand what has successfully been the skills and experiences that have succeeded in that type of role, right? And so our AI automated candidate matching, what we're doing is we're looking at the job description. We're looking at who has the skills that job description's asking for. We're looking at who has similar skills, right? You might be looking for someone with skill A, but skill B is very similar. Right? Does that mean that, you know, you get 0 points? No, of course not, right? You can get points for a similarity or a similar skill. We're looking at experience, right? We're looking at career. We're seeing, does this person have the experience necessary to do a director of business development, right? And then we're also, coming back to something that I alluded to at the beginning, we're also looking at what makes a candidate successful. And so looking at these job descriptions, looking at this industry, what has been the type of profile and role that typically makes a candidate successful, right? What are the skills and the experiences? So what does this mean, right? Why AI? Why is this, why is this good for recruiters? Well, now you can quickly go through and rather than rely on maybe previous, mental shortcuts and, heuristics like apply date, right? It's kind of a classic one, right? First in, first out, last in, last out, right? Going through a candidate list based on that, you can quickly sort all of your candidates by how well do they match this job so that you can focus your time and your effort on those really great candidates, right? And you can quickly identify whom to spend time with, and you can take action on your really good candidates a lot quicker, right? Rather than having to, if you're in a high volume recruiting situation, rather than have to you know, burn through an entire list to get to your really good at candidate. That person can bubble up to the top, which, you know, reduces your response time to that candidate and allows you to engage with them, you know, earlier and more often. So diversity and inclusion is a subject near and dear to my heart. And this is something that I think AI is well positioned to do. And what I think is really important is when we talk about, you know, bias and when we talk about diversity and inclusion, what really separates you know, the HR and the TA space from a lot of other industries is, you know, bias has a very particular meaning, right? Diversity and inclusion is really important. And there's, you know, depending on where you live, there's different legal requirements around diversity and inclusion and preventing bias. In the AI space, in the algorithm space, we talk about, you know, bias in a very mathematical way, right? But what is really important in the TA and HR space is bias has another underlying meaning and an incredibly important and legal meaning, right? The other reason why, you know, bias and diversity and inclusion is so important in this space is it's not just that legal requirement. There's a competitive advantage element here, right? Research has shown time and time again that more diverse teams, more inclusive teams do better, right? They outperform, right? They outperform the general market. They have a longer, you know, they have a longer, you know, career, less turnover. They have less turnover. And so, you know, diversity and inclusion is really important and a real competitive advantage for a lot of organizations. And you can even see this in reports like, you know, Gartner and a lot of other leading organizations being able to point to how diversity does lend to an outperforming organization. So when we think about diversity and inclusion, right, we think about how diversity and inclusion in one area, right, if we want to call it bias, of how bias in one process, right, using this infinity loop impacts the next process, right? So if you have you know, some sort of bias in, you know, how you're engaging, you know, your talent in your talent pool, right, that could be impacting, you know, the group that's applying, and it could be impacting, you know, who gets onboarded, right, or, you know, what ultimately happens during you know, employment and who gets referrals based on, you know, the composition of the workforce that you have today. And so when we think about, you know, diversity and inclusion, we really do take this holistic approach and we take this holistic thought about how, you know, diversity and inclusion in one process impacts another and impacts the next and ultimately comes back, you know, from the, you know, the previous process. So when we think about diversity and inclusion, right, if we focus on just one piece, right, let's take applications. If we focus on one piece and say, well, what does our diversity and inclusion look like at the apply state, right? It's the impact of everything that's happening before that, right? It's the impact of what's happening during sourcing. It's the impact of what's happening in employee referrals. So again, if we think about, you know, diversity and inclusion, and we think about applicant management, we've got a small section, right? A sliver of the overall function and the role. But again, it's necessary to think about at a platform level, how does diversity and inclusion span the entire platform? Right, and if we think about, you know, inclusive text, right, inclusive text within a job description, well, that's no different than how we think about making sure that our content is inclusive in our email campaigns and our subject lines during any sort of text campaigns, right? And so, if we have a, you know, kind of an NLP, a natural language processing approach in context analysis, And that's automated. That should be automated across the entire platform, right? And then what we can do is have automated D&I tagging and reporting that allows us to understand, you know, where are the issues that we can make a difference? Where are the issues that we can impact D&I? And we can take a proactive approach to improving D&I by really identifying these are the moments that matter, right? We're looking to improve D&I, right? We might be successful with a really diverse set of candidates earlier in the process, and maybe it's something we're doing in the middle where we're starting to lose that diversity, or maybe it's something that's happening at the end. But how do we identify those moments that matter in order to make the entire process more inclusive, not just a single piece or a single feature, right? If we don't have a diverse, you know, if we're not encouraging diversity during recruitment marketing, by the time it gets to application management, it might be too late, right? And by the time we get to employee referrals, right? If we're onboarding a less diverse and inclusive group, by the time we get to employee referrals, we're going to see the same thing, right? Those referrals are going to be, you know, potentially less diverse and less inclusive. So how do we take that platform approach, and how do we really address all the all the underlying reasons in a consistent and platform approached way? So here's an example coming out of the JobVite AI Innovations Lab, right? Here's an example about, you know, being able to identify through a platform approach, right? So AI is a platform, right? Approach, think about being able to look across all the data, right? Not just necessarily a piece. And so if we look at, this particular example coming out of our AI Innovations Lab group, what we've seen is we've got some bias in the join of the talent pool, right? We've got more men than women joining the talent pool. But by the time we look at the end of the funnel, by the time we're looking at email engagement, in particular click engagement, we've kind of got a reversal going on, right? More women are engaged with our email campaigns than our men. And ultimately what that led to was more women were applying. And so we didn't necessarily have an issue with, getting men into the talent pool. What we had was through our engagement, what we were seeing was that the content was more geared towards women. So we were seeing greater engagement with the content among women, which was ultimately leading to a decrease in applications for male colleagues. And so what we were able to do is identify these two actions, right? Well, first of all, right, how do we, we're getting more men into the talent. Well, that's great, right? But how do we kind of level that out, right? Increase social spend. Right, that was what we identified. Right, so if we wanted more women into the funnel, women tended for this particular organization to come through social, and so that's where we focused. And then the second piece was how do we revise our subject line and content to appeal to both men and women equally? In particular, this group was, the content was more engaging for women. So how do we revise that content? How do we identify content that's more engaging for men and women? That's what we were able to do, right? And so the takeaway here is what you see out of the back end of the funnel, right? What you see out of, kind of when you're looking for diversity and inclusion, and what that snapshot in time, that might not be reflective of what's really happening throughout the entire process. And so you need that platform approach. You need to be able to measure diversity and inclusion throughout the entire platform, throughout the entire process. In order to be able to understand where you can make that impact and where you might be losing, engagement. So another place where AI can be really impactful and helpful for recruiters is really around engagement, right? How do we provide engagement to our users where they are, right? Whether it be through, chatbots, whether it be through text messages, whether it be through automated messages, right? Continuous engagement that really personalizes the journey, right? And makes the candidate, feel included, makes the candidate, provides relevant content to the candidate, right? You know, really makes them feel like a person, like an individual, right? That it's developed for them. And so if you think about AI-powered automation and optimization, there's a lot of different things that are going on. You know, we've got chatbots, right? Intelligent chatbots. You know, how do you provide candidates the information they're seeking about your organization at the moment that you're seeking it, right? Rather than have to staff, you know, a group of people 24 hours a day to be able to answer questions about benefits and things like that, how do you leverage chatbots to intelligently understand what's the context of the question and what's the best result to return? Same thing with intelligent messaging. The other, you know, really powerful thing around AI is, you know, the comprehensiveness of the approach, right? And so, you know, here we're sharing something that's coming out of the AI labs around comprehensive email health assessments, right? So you can think about your email programs and you can think about engagement with your email programs. You can think about them as like the subject line, right? But you can also think about it as an audience. You can also think about the send time, right? And so if you're looking for, you know, an understanding of how to run better email campaigns, how to run, you know, more engaging email campaigns, there's a number of different levers you could pull, right? You could pull the lever on your content, right? You could pull the lever on your subject line. You could pull a different time lever, right? So what we're able to do with AI is we're able to provide the recommendations and the suggestions that really, you know, encompass all those different pieces to give you the most impactful recommendations, right? So for instance, if you've got a bad subject line, but your audience just isn't there, right? Isn't there in that, you know, to paraphrase, they're dead, right? Like they're just gone. They left you a long time ago. Improving your subject line is not really going to help you. Improving your send time is not going to help you. You've got an audience health issue, right? And so how do you address that? What are the steps to address the audience health issue versus another situation being able to understand that, well, maybe your audience is healthy, but it's your send time, or maybe, you know, this subject is, you know, not performing as well relative to a similar subject with the same, you know, call to action. And so if you're looking for people to RSVP for an event, right, is that the best subject line given everything else that you're trying to do in that email and what that audience looks like? AI can help you understand that. What's the best subject line? What's the best content? What's the best send time simultaneously? So you're getting the best recommendations to deliver the most engaging content to the best audience. That's really what AI is developed to do, to be able to answer a lot of questions really quickly so that you can make, you can make the best decision. Right, and you can spend time and engage with great candidates. Oh, we've got a little bit of animation on this slide, right? So, you know, coming out of that email health assessment, you know, what were some of the takeaways? You know, excellent send times. The send times were great. The subject lines were great. You know, for the most part, we had two underperforming subject lines, right? One of them was in relating to get people to apply. Another was in relation to a notification about campus visits. And then there's also a warning that, you know, the audience health is declining, right? And that has some follow-up suggestions and recommendations of how to get in front of that before it becomes a major critical issue. So when we look at, you know, AI and we look at TA, ultimately what we're looking at is a platform-based approach, right? Where AI should automate those easy decisions so that you can focus your efforts on predictable hiring results, right? So AI is going to, you know, in the case of candidate matching, right? AI is going to help you understand who are the candidates who, you know, are kind of a best fit based on that job description. AI is going to help you understand what are the points in your process, that is an opportunity to be more diverse and be more inclusive, fix the leak in the bucket, right? Where you're losing that diversity and inclusion. AI is going to give you those, you know, those recommendations on how to run better email platforms or how to have a chatbot staffed 24 hours a day that can take some of those easy questions off, like tell me about your benefits, right? That's really what AI is set out to do. It's really to help you automate those easy things, right? And help you automate the levers to pull based on those easy decisions. That is going to allow you to focus your efforts on those really great candidates. And again, you know, just continuing to talk about it, it's really, you know, it is a, it, you know, when I say platform, I mean it, you know, we're talking end to end here, right? End to end in that there's a circular nature to what we're dealing with. And so, you know, the best AI is going to take, you know, all of that information across the entire journey, right? And give you recommendations where if you're seeing some, you know, if you're seeing an issue at the end of the journey, right, the time to get in front of it might be at, you know, at the top of the funnel. And so AI is going to help us be able to do that, just like we talked about with diversity and inclusion. Okay, so we're coming to the end of our PowerPoint here, and you know, we're going to kind of talk a little bit about the future. What do we see as the future of AI? Right? Well, when we talk about AI, you know, really what we see is a platform that's going to be powered by three key things, right? We're going to be powered by, you know, the people, right? You know, I think we're going to be talking more and more about, you know, great recruiters who are able to leverage these technologies to identify great candidates. AI, right? Like I said, I have a vision where we'll, you know, we won't be talking about AI in the future. Right, the platform is going to be, powered by AI. That there's going to be AI and automation underneath everything that we do, but that platform, you know, that's just going to be there, right? It's going to be kind of a non-event. What's going to excel is the people who are able to leverage it, the people who are able to interact with it, the people who are able to, you know, leverage the AI and the automation to make themselves more efficient, right? And that really is built on trust and adoption. And so the individuals, the recruiters who are able to adopt, and trust the results of AI, I think those are people who are really going to succeed. And so in the future, we're going to be talking about those people, and we're not going to be talking about the AI and the automation. We're just going to be talking about great recruiters who are really efficient. That's my optimistic message for where I see AI going. A couple of resources that I wanted to throw out to the, you know, kind of everyone, right? So the 2020 Job Seeker Nation report, this is a survey that JobBite does. Really timely and interesting survey because there's a lot, a lot of information around, you know, what was the impact of COVID, during the early, late spring, early summer. And what do we see coming out of COVID? The other thing that I'd point people to, Nothing Artificial, A Guide to AI and Talent Acquisition. We cover a lot of the things that we covered today, in that it's an ebook, right? It's a pretty short read. Maybe ebook might be, exaggerating a bit. It's maybe half a dozen pages, 10 pages, that type of thing. And then another resource I would point people to is Artificial Intelligence for HR by Ben Eubanks. That's a great book. I personally read it. I think it's a really nice and approachable introduction to the use cases for AI in talent acquisition and HR in general. So talent acquisition has a chapter or two in there, and then HR in general, where is there some great applications for AI in the HR space. Really well-written book. I highly recommend it for those who are interested. So as promised, five predictions for AI. Right? First prediction, right? AI and talent acquisition isn't scary. I don't know if that's a prediction or that's a statement, but maybe this is the prediction, right? I believe that conceptually, if communicated appropriately, and maybe I've achieved that today, maybe I haven't, but if communicated appropriately, people already understand what AI is. Good. It's the process we all use every single day. As a father of two young children, it's just amazing to watch how humans learn, right, and build those experiences. And that's exactly what AI does. It it really learns and behaves like a person. You know, my second prediction is something that, you know, I've kind of talked about a little bit already. It's AI is going to be commonplace, right? And that that AI is going to drive those numerous automated actions, okay? And then the third recommendation is AI isn't going to be replacing recruiters. It's really going to allow recruiters to spend more time building relationships, right? Allow recruiters to spend more time speaking with people, which is, you know, kind of one of the most enjoyable aspects of anything we do in recruiting, in my experience. I also think if I can go one step further, I would also say that, you know, those recruiters who are going to be most successful will be the ones who can, you know, harness the efficiencies delivered by AI. My fourth prediction is users are going to expect the UI to anticipate their actions, right? So users are going to, you know, I think over time, you know, we as people are going to be less tolerant of, you know, UIs that, you know, don't natively understand what we're trying to do, right? And what we want to see. I want to see these relevant recommendations for this position, right? I don't want to see everything. Focus my time, focus my effort on the things that matter. And I think users are going to just expect their UI to anticipate their actions, anticipate their needs in the future, if they don't already. And then the last one is going to be just kind of a general prediction in this space. It's going to be around platforms and, you know, kind of tools. And I think that the winning, you know, kind of the winning story here is going to be those technologies that are looking to implement a platform, right? A comprehensive approach and a comprehensive AI vision, right? When we talk about diversity and inclusion, I think that's a great example. You need that comprehensive approach to really deal with it effectively. And so the winners in this space, right, are going to be those companies that have a vision and are looking to implement a vision across an entire platform, not necessarily a single tool. And so that really concludes the talk I had scheduled today. Let me throw it back to Stacy.
Such a great presentation. I don't know if you've been following the chat. There was a before I have like 8 questions I wrote down.
8 questions. That's great.
But before I get into that, let's jump into the chat real quick. Our good friend Aaron Brown. Aaron Brown was a VP of talent acquisition at IPG. Great guy. He's given me lots of advice in my own business dealing. So thank you, Aaron, for participating. He wrote in there, do you see in the chat, he says, this is one of the best presentations he's seen that has explained AI in layman's terms, especially as it relates to recruiting work streams. And yeah, lots of really cool stuff in here. I want to jump down. He says, you have to understand the AI algorithm. And he had a question down at the bottom. Given that there's hundreds of options in recruiting for the technology ecosystem being pitched to talent acquisition, how do you recommend we validate and verify the algorithms being used for recruiting purposes?
That is a great question, right? What is the level of knowledge that, you know, a recruiter or a VP, whomever is purchasing, needs to understand regarding AI? And you know, I don't think that question is just related to, you know, TA, right? In general, in any industry, right? What's the level of knowledge? I'd say the first thing to look for there, Aaron, is a trusted partner. Right. Look for the team that is building, you know, look for the product that is building a team that understands what they're doing, right? And really can take ownership of that technology. Right. So that would be the one, you know, the one I would start with is look for a trusted partner who has the team and the experience that can really stand behind the product itself. Right. That would be what I would suggest. Because if you have that trusted partner, if you have that level of experience from your vendor, there's a, you know, I think a level of comfort there. Now, the other thing that I think, you know, you should be able to do is have an open conversation with their AI team, right? You should be able to talk to them about, well, tell us where, you know, where does this product work? Where do you have issues? Right? Is there an ability during the onboarding process to talk to the AI team and provide feedback of, well, we expected this. Can you tell us, you know, why we didn't get what we expected? Is there a way to, you know, improve the product to conform to our needs? Right? Look for a team that is willing to have that conversation and really willing to be transparent about what they're doing. I think that's a huge piece, right? Is, you know, if you're not willing to be transparent, if you're trying to black box everything, I think it gets really hard to have these conversations and to have trust, right? But if, you know, if you work with a partner you can trust who's willing to be transparent, you know, pull back the curtains a little bit, I think that's a really good place to start. You don't have to be a PhD. Don't go get that PhD in AI, right? You're really good at what you do. You know, find a trusted partner who you can work with.
Now, and also on along those same lines, you know, my background is actually as a data analyst, and I have a degree in financial statistics. And I mean, really what we're looking at is just your historical data. We're aggregating your historical data and gamifying basically the steps you take in processing that data. And then that gamification, that technology just puts forth what you are most likely to select given what you've selected in the past, right? It's almost like a gamification.
To some degree, right? And yeah, this is where my love of
ways.
Totally, right? This is where my love of behavioral economics comes into play, right? It's also, you know, that gamification and that nudge, right? How do you nudge people into the direction that makes the most impact? So I would agree with you. 100%. And the other piece is, you know, coming back to this platform, right? It's avoiding, you know, doing that analysis in that silo or with the blinders on that I just need to fix this one problem, because your answer might be outside of wherever you have your blinders on, right? So doing that data analysis across the entire, you know, kind of spectrum, across the entire workflow, I think that's really important. It allows you to, you know, kind of tease out that causality that you're really after.
Yeah. Okay. Which brings me to
I don't know how I, maybe I went a little deep there, sorry.
You know, what I love about this platform, and because you've acquired so many different companies and implemented it, I mean, it seems like, I love that graph that you had of the affinity loop. I made a little joke in there. I was like, I want an infinity scarf now that has the Jobvite talent loop on it. And I'm just going to, quite honestly, that is a perfect loop, because a lot of the conversations that I've been having with people, analytics professionals, and IO psychology has been around for over a decade, but it's really just evolved within HR. And this evolution that I'm seeing, sometimes when I have these conversations with people, analytics professionals, I feel as though they are missing just how important the sourcing and recruitment processes, because oftentimes they'll say to me, I don't know how hiring relates to people analytics. And I'm just like, and at first I was like, okay, I guess it's like, it's definitely two different spectrums. You're looking at the data of your internal employees, how to keep them engaged. However, if you're not also evaluating how you're hiring and how you're screening and how you're looking at talent, I mean, really, that's the success of your company and the retention and the quality of your internal talent pool.
And comes back into your referrals, right? The people that you're retaining. It comes full circle, right? Exactly. I think this is why, you know, the Jobvite approach, right, is so on point. In that it really does look at that entire spectrum. It really treats the entire thing as a platform. And how can we use our information from one point to be able to leapfrog over to the critical point that matters, right? And be able to influence that critical point that matters. I think it's really great what we're doing.
Oh my gosh, we only have 3 minutes left. Yeah. I'm not going to get to my questions. All right. So this was the most pressing question for me then. So I'll just go into this. All right. So The platform itself, as you're explaining it, it seemed like it was a lot more robust with like chatbot and the text messaging and the email campaigns. I was like, sign me up right there. And then the other thing was, in the very beginning, we're talking about that talent source or the talent loop from engagement, sourcing to engagement to onboarding to having your internal employees and their referrals and what have you. So it also is that internal referral program. It's like it's the internal referral program. So internally it manages that too, like the employee experience.
Yeah. So I think your question is on the AI side, right? How comprehensive is it? Is that your question?
Not so much on the platform itself. Is it not only like an applicant tracking system, an email CRM, but is it also an employee experience hub for when you have?
So we do have some onboarding and we do have some other pieces. Okay. I am not the demo guy.
Right.
So I want to be very careful about I am not that's what I should lead with, right? I am not the demo guy. However, we've got a lot of great demos and we've got a lot of people who can speak to those specific pieces of functionality.
The other, I guess, and then, so that's on the back end. And then in front of your loop, you talked about the sourcing. So when I think of sourcing versus recruitment, and this is, I think, a massive distinction between the two. Sourcing is all about identifying and finding passive candidates who are not in your applicant tracking system. It's the research intelligence, the talent intelligence, and all that goes into sourcing. It's before you don't even know, they don't even know you exist. Like sourcers go out and they identify those people. And then recruitment could be somebody who actually dives into your applicant tracking system, data mines, looks for candidates who have already applied. They're dealing with applicants. And yeah. I think that is like the dividing line. So your JobBite doesn't have like a sourcing tool.
Well, yeah, I guess the dividing line, right? So when I talk about, you know, where we live in the candidate space, right? So you've got, you know, I think of applying as that dividing line, right? Mm-hmm. And things that are happening before that dividing line are candidates, right? So you could have people sign up for talent pools and things like that. They might be actively looking, they might be passively looking, what have you. But that's where we're spending a lot of time in our effort is, you know, once we've identified kind of that talent pool, whether it be, you know, historical information or, active or passively looking, you know, currently, how do we use that information? How do we use that candidate list and apply it to the positions that we have coming down? How do we make sure that we're engaging? You know, if you think about it as almost like from a marketing perspective. Right? How are you engaging with that person over a longer period of time so that when something does come available, right, and you have a position that's a great fit for them, that person's engaged, right?
And, we call
and you have
those
an ongoing
nurture
conversation.
Programs. Right, it's a nurture.
Trip campaigns, nurture programs. Yep. Yeah.
Okay, so it's kind of like a CRM in a way.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Right.
I think that's okay.
yeah. I think that's how you would. I think that's exactly what telemetry.
Very cool. All right. So we're at the top of the hour. If anybody would like to reach out to you and ask more questions, and thank you so much, Morgan, for being on the show. I think you did a fantastic job. I mean, you saw the comments in the chat here. Great advice. And then if anybody needs to reach out to you or has additional questions, how can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn, of course, Morgan Llewellyn. Morgan Llewellyn JobBite is probably the easiest way to find me. And then, you know, you can reach out to me via email, of course, Morgan Llewellyn, Morgan.Llewellyn, at JobBite-Inc.com. Great. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm always interested. Again, the mission that I see is how do we breed confidence in AI? How do we develop trust? How do we develop adoption? Because if we get those three things, we're going to deliver great recruiters. We're going to become more efficient, and they're just going to become superstars. So, again, I love having these conversations. Thank you for the time today. Wonderful format. I love what you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And anybody can go to the JobBite site. It's jobbite.com. And if they want to see a demo, JobVite will be at Talent Congress 2020, October 20th through the 22nd. You can register or find out more information about our agenda and our 3 days of speakers and keynotes at talentcongress.com. Otherwise, we'll see you back here next week, next Wednesday at 10 a.m. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.